Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is basically the last of our 2020-2021 preseason podcasts.
Yes.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. First of all, joined by David Griggs over here, John Salika, and from Bracketeer.org, we have Rocco Miller as well. And guys, this is probably my favorite preseason podcast we do every year, the Under the Radar preseason podcast.
Mine too. I got to say that, like, I wish we were going into a normal year because it's somebody that follows the under the radar teams like the four of us do. And if you watch this show, you obviously follow it as well. The fun is who's going to like break out this year? Who are the teams going to be that can get inside the bubble? And like, what are they going to do in these November and December games that have coming up? This year there's such a cloud over everything. That narrative isn't quite what it normally is, but anyway, it's still fun to be doing this.
Normally, yeah. Most years we would be watching Chaminade play someone in the Maui Invitational, but yeah. As it is, we're still less than 36 hours from our first under the radar game of the day.
Yeah. Well, we're less than 36 hours away from the start of a season. That's going to be unlike any we've ever seen. And hopefully that we ever see again.
Right.
We're sitting here, games still being canceled and rescheduled, and yeah. It's just going to be a war of attrition to get through this season. But let me start by talking about what we mean by under the radar. For those of you that are not familiar with that phrase, under the radar in our terms here is the 22 non-normal multi-bid conferences. So it's not one of the five power conferences of the Big East. We also exclude the American, the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference. If you want to see anything about any of those 10 conferences, go up to that season preview tab up there. You can watch any of our videos. Yeah. We did separate videos for each of them.
Yeah.
The other 22 conferences are under the radar conferences. Now, technically, as the season goes on, if any of these teams get ranked in the top 25 in either polls, we'll pull them up above the radar, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll discuss them at different points during the season. But at least for preseason purposes, they're all under the radar. None of them are in the top 25 anyhow preseason.
Right, yeah.
Did I get that right, David?
Yeah, none are. It's been a while since we've had someone. But, like, yeah, if, Furman or somebody has a breakout year, gets into the top 25, they get promoted, I guess, to the Hoops HD report. Although we shouldn't say that because we love all of these teams. Really, we watch more under – this is one of the dirty secrets, at least that I think me and Chad and Stalika have, and probably Rocco too. We watch more under the radar than we do Power 5. Oh, yeah. We really do.
And as we do this, we're getting breaking news. The season just got pushed back by 2 hours, right, Rocco?
Yeah.
The San Francisco Towson game now became the San Francisco Stephen F. Austin game, which is 2 hours later. So unless Towson's got a new opponent, we might have a 38-hour wait instead of 36. But hopefully Towson gets a new opponent.
There goes my 9 a.m. alarm clock for Wednesday morning.
I know. I already blocked those hours.
That was 6 a.m. for you out there in the West Coast, Rocker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and with the West Coast team, I had the excuse built in.
But anyhow, what we're going to do with these conferences, we're going to go through the 21/22 of them. 21 they'll be playing, all 22 of them. There are 22 of these conferences. We'll talk about the Ivy League briefly when we get to it. But we'll go through them in alphabetical order. We're going to start with the American East. What I'm actually going to do is, as we're going to be using during the course of the regular season, when we do our Under the Radar podcast and even our Hoops HD reports, I'm going to pull up on the screen here, if this works. If it doesn't work, then you can all just yell at me. But we should be getting the American East there on the screen.
We got something. There it is. All right.
There. Okay. Those are the 10 members of the American East. As you can see, there's no records. The RPI column, you can kind of ignore that. That's an old holdover number, I believe. But the KenPom numbers you see in there are KenPom's preseason ratings even.
All right, yeah.
We've got some preseason ratings in even. The JNG numbers are our colleague Joby Fortson's JNG rating, his preseason numbers as well. But
I do have an actual question. Like, how do we have – those are current rankings, the adjusted – How have we made adjustments for zero games?
That ask KenPom. You have to ask KenPom. Those are his preseason numbers, and those are his preseason adjusted offensive, adjusted defensive tempo ratings that he came out with.
Not a whole lot of good. Some very poor offensive teams in this conference we've got here.
Yes. Let's start here with the American East, though. Well, first of all, one change in the American East, we are up to 10 teams as NJIT comes over from the Atlantic Sun. They are now in the American East. But Rocco, taking a look at the American East this season, this has been Vermont's conference for a few years in a row, albeit what UMBC did in the NCAA tournament a few years back. But what are your thoughts on this conference heading into this season?
Yeah, I think it's still Vermont's conference to lose. You know, something really impressive about the Vermont program. John Becker has won the American East Coach of the Year award for four straight years. So I think if he wins it again this year, they might just have to rename the award for him. But he also has an embarrassment of riches compared to most of the programs in the league. It's constantly bringing more talent in. They do lose Anthony Lamb this year, a staple in that program the last 4 years, but Steph Smith's still there and he's capable of being the player of the year this year. They have really good assets around Smith and Bernie Andre and Ben Shungu. And they bring in Andre's a newcomer that's just going to add a lot more flexibility to their offense. So I think it's Vermont's championship to lose, and I think all things run through Vermont for the conference tournament.
Yeah, keep an eye also on Ryan Davis, who was the sixth man of the year in the conference last season.
Right.
He might be in a starting role this year. Andre's coming over from Northern Arizona, transfer there. But David, beyond Vermont, is anyone else you're looking at here that could challenge him?
Challenge them, no. A couple of quick, just rapid fire here on some of the teams. New Hampshire picked to finish third at Media Day, not normally a program.
I like the pick. I like them third.
That's expected to do that well.
Everybody back on that team. That's why I like it.
I guess that's it. Albany not expected to be that good this year. UMBC, another team to keep an eye on. I know you already kind of mentioned them. UMass Lowell probably not going to finish very high, but they're fun to watch. You see their tempo there, 49th. I thought it was a lot higher than that. But, you know, they run up and down the floor like crazy. They don't often score, and they can't stop anybody. But, man, are they fast.
Yeah.
And a team that isn't fast and can't score and can't stop anybody, and those adjusted efficiency ratings show it. How about the Maine Black Bears, ladies?
The Maine Black Bears, yeah. But real quick, a couple notes there. On UMass Lowell, Obadiah Noel, keep an eye on him. He may be your America East Player of the Year. He's going to be scoring a ton of points for them. And I kind of – I'm sneakily looking at this NJITT team. Sleek, let me ask you maybe about them. Zach Cooks had 19.7 points a game. The team, yeah, they went 9-21 this last year, but I think there's a couple pieces here that may be able to, you know, win a few games.
Well, Cooks is going to be the main piece, but the other thing you have to keep in mind for NJIT, they're not having to go halfway across the country anymore just for conference road trips, so at least now you can actually hop on a bus for a change.
Yeah, I'm going to be keeping an eye on this on the NJIT team for that reason, among others here, that yeah, they can bus to these games, but I think it's going to be interesting below Vermont, but I don't know that there's any way that Vermont doesn't win this conference. And I guess as we go through these, we talk about them, one thing we want to keep an eye on here is, does anybody in this conference have a shot at an at-large bid? I don't think any of us think there's an at-large bid coming out of this league.
If it is, it's Vermont, and probably not.
Right. But that's one question we do want to ask as we go through each of these. But let's jump over now to the conference that NJIT actually came from, and that's the Atlantic Sun, which should be populating here in a second. We seem to have a little bit of a screen delay. There it is. We've already had two teams eliminated here. Well, two teams that are ineligible, including – the replacement for NJIT, Bellarmine, out of Louisville, Kentucky, coming into the Atlantic Sun, their first year of a four-year transition. North Alabama's in their third year of transition. Bellarmine, interestingly enough, David, is going to be playing their games in Freedom Hall, not just this year. I believe it's a multi-year deal from what I read, to play in Freedom Hall as opposed to their tiny little bandbox over there on campus.
Now, what's interesting, they're on-campus arena, I want to say it's about 2,000. I mean, it's anything but huge. But when you compare it to other arenas, and even some in this conference, like North Florida, I don't know how big Jax is, but, like, it isn't – North Alabama's kind of small. I mean, that on-campus arena would have been kind of fun, but, you know, Freedom Hall, a little bit cavernous. If you – watch this show, you probably know this, but just in case you don't, Bellarmine was an elite, ever really since Scotty Davenport took over there, a top 10 caliber Division II team. This is not a slouch of a program that's moving up. I think that they're going to be ahead of pace. If anything, the four-year transition is going to slow them down because it's going to be hard to recruit players when you're on probation for 4 years. But right now, even as a first-year transitional team, I think they finish in the top half of this league and maybe close to the top, if not at the top. This is not a slouch program.
Well, they're in first place already. Oh, wait, that's just alphabetically.
Yeah, alphabetically.
Sleeka, Sleeka, who wins this league?
I would probably say look for Abdullah and Lipscomb to actually win the league.
Yeah,
Liberty will certainly be a contender, but I think the Bisons would be my smart choice here.
Well, Rocco, do you want to set them correctly and talk about a team from Central Florida that could have a shot at this league?
I think you're referring to Stetson, Chad.
Oh, my God, Chad.
Is that right?
I am. Are you with me? Are you on the hat or bandwagon?
You know, I've gotten to know Donnie Jones over the years when he was down at University of Central Florida. It would be a great story if he took Stetson all the way to the automatic bid. I don't want to say no because I root for stories like that. But in my view right now, I think Lipscomb's actually the team to beat. I like Asadula was actually the most efficient player in KenPom last year in the entire league, and he's back. They've got a better supporting cast this year with the addition of Tommy Murr. So I like the Bison to do it. And welcome to the Knights. I think David Griggs was right. They're going to be a welcome addition and a quality basketball program in this league for years to come.
Chad,
all I've got to say, let me defend
please.
Stetson.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You've got Rob Perry. He was the ace on freshman of the year last year. This team was 16-17. This is a Stetson team that normally wins about three games all season. Donnie Jones in just 1 year made a huge turnaround. He makes that type of increase again this year. They're running away with this conference, first of all.
Well, if he makes that kind of increase again,
you've got a 7-1 freshman here in Gabriel Wuar who's coming in. You've got Christian Jones, a double-digit score. You got Mamadou Diawara, who is a double-double threat down low, another big man. They've got size on this team. They've got great coaching. I really like Donnie Jones. I think the Stetson team may be a year away still, but this Stetson team is absolutely going in the right direction and in a way we've never seen before. I also
Which
want to give a quick
great.
shout out to Florida Gulf Coast. I think that's another yes. team you got to keep an eye on in this conference. Yeah. There's a lot of talent, plus Franco Miller coming in over from Ole Miss, who's probably going to be a pretty good scorer for them.
Yeah. I agree with that, Chad. I just think Gulf Coast is going to be a little bit better on the defensive end, which I think keeps them in more games and an actual chance to pull off an upset or two in the conference tournament. But we'll see how it plays out. It's going to be a little bit different than last year.
And we didn't even mention North Florida, who tied with Liberty for the championship last season, but they lost a lot off of.
They lost.
Yeah, they're probably still the upper half, but
senior
not.
Heavy last year. Yeah.
All right, let's jump right on along here and move out west here. Rocco, I guess I got to start with you because we're going west. So we're heading to the Big Sky Conference, which has
Big Sky.
Been about Montana most years, although last year was Eastern Washington that took the regular season crown.
It was, yeah. And I think it was a tie, wasn't it? Or maybe they snuck it out by one game.
They snuck it out by a game over Northern Colorado, yep.
Yeah, so I like this Eastern team. Jacob Davison can get red hot on fire. He also gets it done on both sides of the court on the defensive end as well. This Eastern team has been built up by Shante Lagans for the last couple of years, and this is their year. So they've got to make it happen, and I will pick them to do it. But this is a tough league. It's one of the first leagues we've previewed where we have the quirky scheduling with back-to-back games. So I think it's important to take a closer look at all those matchups, who has who at home, who has who away. Unfortunately, we had a million schedule updates today, and I didn't get to break that down. it's going to be a really interesting year because you've got all these Friday, Saturday games. I think the league did a good job. There's an extra week in there to reschedule makeups, and you have the middle of the week to get games in if things get a little chaotic midway through. And so it's going to be a fun year to watch. You also have Steve Smiley taking over at Northern Colorado. I think that was a great hire. He's been in the program for a while. Coach Linder went to Wyoming. I don't think they miss a beat. I think they're right in the mix. And I also think Montana, as always, they're going to be back again. Michael Stedman comes in with a lot of experience. Probably going to be the newcomer of the year in the Big Sky. So I think those will be between those two and Eastern Washington be the top three this year.
Yeah, you're bringing a guy from San Jose State, but when you bring a San Jose State guy in at this level, they've actually had some talent there at San Jose State, even if they've turned it to wins. And Stedman 2 years ago led them in points and rebounds. So I really like the Stedman bringing here in Montana, though there is a lot they lost off of last year. Stalika, do you have anybody else you're looking at besides Eastern Washington, Montana, and maybe Northern Colorado as a third?
I would probably, if I had to pick a sleeper, either Montana State or Weber State would be the usual candidates.
Interesting.
Southern League?
You know, kind of what has already been shared, just a quick, again, rapid fire. Southern Utah not going to contend for a league title, but again, a program that's incrementally improved over the years from being one of the worst in all of Division One, literally, to somewhere around the middle of the league and maybe in the upper half. So it's been kind of fun to watch them improve. And Idaho State picked to finish at the bottom, depending on which order. No surprise there. Just a little bit of trivia about Idaho here. They are, you know, their big rivalry is Wazoo. Those two schools, Chad, are 8 miles apart, and they've never met in the NCAA tournament.
Never met in the NCAA. No, wow.
Sure if anyone has even been to the NCAA. You know. there's no other school, I don't think, that are rivals that have that distinction.
Salik, let me go back to you after David's fun fact. I was going to go to him, but I'm kind of excited about this year. I think that this is a wide-open conference in the Big South, where you've got four of the top five teams, in my opinion, bringing everybody back from last season. But what are your thoughts on the Big South this season?
Well, if we were talking about last year, we'd be talking about how Longwood finally made some strides. But since a bunch of their seniors have graduated, they're probably going to go back towards the bottom of the pack right here. So now I'd be looking at Winthrop and Gardner-Webb as candidates to contend for the conference crown.
Well, Winthrop and Gardner-Webb, I like both those picks. I mean, Winthrop has a lot back and has some strength. But Rocco, there's four other teams I'm kind of looking at here that I love teams, especially in a season like this where everything's so chaotic that when you have the experience coming back. You have four teams here, Charleston Southern, UNC Asheville, South Carolina Upstate, and High Point that are all bringing the whole team back from last year pretty much.
Yeah, and I know on previous shows we've talked about bringing everybody back being an extra positive this year in terms of cohesiveness within the roster. But I guess the counter argument to that would be that if you kind of look at the metrics over the last handful of years, it actually shows the biggest jump in developments between freshman and sophomore year versus junior to senior. So there are some sneaky teams out there with some quality sophomores, but USC Upstate actually has a few of those. And Bruner and Moore. So they'll be intriguing to watch, and a really nice mixed roster there. I also think this Campbell team could sneak up on teams. And I do like Gardner-Webb, and I think Fleming from Charleston Southern is going to be your player of the year in this league. So
there's a lot of
variables out there.
Fleming could be a triple double guy. I mean, that's how good he is. And with the points, phenomenal. The rebounds, the assists. And a little note, David, Dave Dickerson, the head coach for South Carolina Upstate, is going to be coaching the season remotely due to COVID. He's not even going to be on the bench, but David,
well, that'll be interesting. It'll be
but who do you like here? Is it Winthrop or are we going to go somewhere else at the end of the day?
Winthrop is who's getting all the love. I'm going to go with them just because I like what they have so much. And just Pat Kelsey has done a phenomenal job there. But, you know, Charleston Southern, just because of that, they are another team that I think could win the league. Yeah. I know that they don't have much in addition to him, but he's quite a bit all by himself.
I just, you know, you got to look at a coach like Tubby Smith again. I mean, he hasn't done much at High Point yet, but
he hasn't. Yeah.
But,
in fact,
maybe this is the year, you know, I mean,
I forgot he was even there. That's how little he's done. Oh God.
David, let me stick with you. Jump back out west again, actually, to the Big West Conference, another conference with multiple new additions in this league this year, as both Cal State Bakersfield, they're on the top of the screen there, coming over from the WAC, and UC San Diego making a move up from D2 this season. So we're up from 9 to 11 teams in the Big West.
Yeah, I kind of liked it at 9. Not that those are –
Well, UC San Diego now was 30-1 last season.
Yeah, they were. So, again, similar to Bellarmine, another team that can probably step right in here and do really well. The Gauchos are who I like. I think that's who we all like. If we were doing a top 10 today, which I know we're not, they'd probably be in it. The Eaters, I know that they lost a lot, but you don't ever want to count out UC Irvine. They've been the class of the league for a while. anyway, I guess, like, if you're asking me, like, who the front runners are going to be, it's them. Other teams to kind of keep an eye on. I mean, Jim Less, he's been up and down at UC Davis. It seems like he goes through talent cycles. Like, he gets it, and then he develops it over time, and then it all graduates, and he needs to replace it at all. So they're, I think, kind of in the middle of that.
I think it's a rebuild year there.
Yeah, it is, sort of. And another team in here, not a front runner, at least I don't think so. How much more time does Dan Monson, and this is a guy who really should be credited for jump-starting Gonzaga, not to take anything away from Mark Few, but he sort of, like, was the architect of what at least got that started as far as playing a ridiculous schedule that, was impossible, and getting them on the national stage. He's continued to do that at Long Beach, but he has not gotten the results. He's had a few good teams. More mediocre and bad ones. Is this it for him?
It's 14 seasons now. This will be his 14th year there in Long Beach, longer than he was at Gonzaga. But
he wasn't at Gonzaga that long to be.
I think when you talk about head coaches, though, Rocco, I think I asked you this off the air at one point. Russell Turner, the job he's done at Irvine, I think has just been incredible. This was a team that was nothing before he got there for years and years and years. I don't know why he's still there, honestly.
Don't either. Oh, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, no, I get it. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's just probably being patient and waiting for the right opportunity. And if he doesn't get it, he's happy in Irvine. He's in a league where they get talent and they play really well defensively. I think Irvine leads most of the defensive metrics year in and year out. And when you have a team with that kind of pedigree, you've got a chance to win the conference tournament every year and the regular season championship, and they've done both now multiple times. And this year, you know, they bring back Colin Welp, another Seattle guy. I keep giving them shout outs, but a family I've been familiar with for years. The kid's got a ton of talent, a chance to win player of the year this year. And they bring in a freshman in Andre Henry that could start right off the bat. That's pretty talented. And you know, they're going to get it done defensively by March. So I think, you know, it's, as badly as I want to pick Santa Barbara to win the league, because I do like a lot of their pieces, I just think the provenness of the defense at Irvine and the coaching and I think they've got enough there to do it again. I think a dark horse to watch out for are my friends over at UC Riverside.
Nice.
They've been in the basement for a long time. But Mike Magpio has really turned that program around. They talked about ending all athletics there earlier this year. And he has been, like, one of the number one advocates in making sure they get donations and keep the program going. And he's not doing that by accident. He knows this team's got some talent. And I think they can get in the top half of the league this year.
And it's kind of funny because he's the new head coach there. David Patrick left for an assistant job at Arkansas.
Exactly.
And he left a team that's a top half of the conference contender. So it's just
crazy. Yeah, and this is – Rocco, I'm so glad you said that because, I mean, this would be sort of a national story. If you're looking for a team to root for this year, a team of the people, so to speak, they're probably the best candidate for it because the institution literally looked at shutting everything down. How great would it be to see them, you know, either this year or next year, make a huge splash and maybe finish at or near the top of the league? If this team goes dancing, that's the kind of thing you make a movie about.
Before we move on, Sleek, I want to ask you one other question about this team. This conference has a team in it that is going to be one very worth keeping an eye on in the whole COVID thing, and that's Hawaii and all the travel they're going to have to do. Do you have any thoughts on how something like that plays out with this season, or we just have to see what happens?
I think we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. But at the same time, we can't also discount the possibility that Hawaii may just relocate into the continental U.S. temporarily, a la New Mexico State, who, from what I understand, is actually going to be playing their games in Phoenix.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We'll get to the whack at the end of the show here. I'm also keeping a slight eye on Bakersfield coming in. They got a lot of talent back, but they were, you know, they lost 19 games. Rod Barnes' team there last year also. But
Rod Barnes has done a good job there, just a real rough year last year.
Salika, let me stick with you and jump over to the Colonial now, a conference where this is one of maybe the another one of those kind of rough heartbreak stories from last year when the tournament got canceled. Hofstra, after coming so close, finally broke through, won the conference tournament, got its first NCAA what they thought was going to be their first NCAA tournament bid last year in a long time, and then, of course, it never happened. And they kind of lost a lot, too, from that team, didn't they?
Well, to put it into perspective how long it was, there was some guy named Jay Wright who was coaching Hofstra back in 2000 when they made it in. But by the same token, you're also going to have to keep an eye on a team like Towson and Pat Scarry's crew that's also going to be a serious contender along with Hofstra here.
Yeah, Rocco Towson, led by a pair of brothers there. I'll let you say their last name.
Where are we at?
Towson here with Solomon and Victor Ulanamayo.
Yes. The Ulanamayo.
Yes. Sorry, guys, if you're watching.
So Victor came from USC, didn't play much, 7-footer. But you put a 7-footer with Pac-12 pedigree back into the CAA, he could actually be pretty big. Zane Martin's the big story. You know, one of the few yo-yos you'll find in college basketball this year. Last year we had Jake Toulson at BYU who went BYU to Utah Valley and back to BYU. Now we have Zane Martin who started at Towson under Skiri, then went to New Mexico, and now he's back at Towson. So welcome back, Zane. And this guy, capable of being player of the year in the league, I think. Yeah. He's just a flat-out player. He dishes, he gets a few boards, and he can score. So he's just a really impact guy for Towson. But Skiri, to me, you know, he's still got to prove he can coach with the best of this league. I think, you know, if you look at the CAA preseason poll, I was scratching my head for a little bit. I know Charleston and Northeastern have both lost some pieces, but, man, can they, with Earl Grant and Coach Bone at Northeastern, those two guys – are proven coaches, and they've got enough, I think, to stay in the top of the league. Towson's going to have to prove they can hang with those guys. And I think Hofstra being the defending CAA tournament champions and not having that opportunity to taste the tournament, that's going to keep them hungry, I think, all year. And so I'm going to ride Hofstra to the back to the title because they want to taste what that was supposed to be like.
David, are you with me? With Hofstra winning?
Yeah,
I'm not. So
I oh, you're not. Well, no, I like. First. I'm curious to see who you like, but no, I'm like big on Hofstra. I like Towson as well. I get what you're saying, Rocco. Like he hasn't. What Pat Scarry has done is taken what was the worst or one of the two worst teams in Division I when he took it over. Not only that, they were on probation, and he's made them very, very respectable. Now he hasn't really competed for first place yet, but I mean this is a guy that like literally resurrected this program from the dead and made them at least a middle of the pack team. But to your point, like could he be on like the level of Hofstra and like the what Charleston's been, maybe not this year but in other years, I don't know. But I've actually been kind of a fan of his just because of what he's done there. Well, who do you like,
Chad? Let me tell you where I wanted to go a while back. I wanted to go Delaware until Nate Darling decided to stay in the NBA draft. And with that dropped them off. But I'm actually going to take a look at a team in the city of Philadelphia. David, you love the Big Five, not quite Big Five.
This is actually a really good pick.
But Cam Winter might be your Colonial Player of the Year here. He had 15-plus points a game, 5-plus assists per game last year. You have James Butler, who averaged a double-double. I am very high on Zach Spiker's Drexel Dragons this year. And they're actually going to be my pick to win this conference. Not only are they my pick to win this conference, but I've got coming in second here. Another team that I think that no one's looked at is Elon there with who has a lot back. They came out very strong at the end of the season last year, and they were all freshmen. They're sophomores there. Rocco, you want to talk about that freshman to sophomore jump? This might be the team to look at.
I like Elon a lot, and Coach was very impressive in his first year, Coach Greg, last year. So I think that could be the team that jumps up. This is always a fun league. I remember last year vividly during the offseason, we were talking about six possible teams winning it. This year there might be four or five, but I mean, they're not dominant enough to where a team like even Elon or Elon could come up and win it.
David, you there with me on Drexel though?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm really big on them. I'm still going with Hofstra, but Drexel is certainly in the mix. I like Elon. I'm a little surprised that you're picking them that high. I was thinking fourth or fifth, but I mean, like, to your point, yeah, they were much improved last year. That should carry into this year, which is exciting because this is an Elon team that hasn't been, you know, a league front runner in quite some time.
Salika, let me go back to you and jump over to Conference USA, which has one of the more interesting teams that I assume we're probably all going to pick to win this conference. It might be the first team we're discussing with a potential of an at-large bid. As you can see, they did get one vote there in the coaches poll, coming in at number 46 of the nation. I'm, of course, mentioning Western Kentucky, but maybe you want to go somewhere else.
I'm going to assume you're talking about Charles Bassey at Western Kentucky, where it seemed like they were on pace last year, and then he had a season-ending injury back in December that derailed their at-large hopes. But by the same token, they were still in contention for the regular season crown, but North Texas actually ended up beating the Hilltoppers to win the game in the final day of the regular season. But sadly, we never got the curtain. We never got to see any resolution between those two teams.
Yeah, Rocco, how about this WKU team, though? Bassey, Hollinsworth had 16 points a game. Carson Williams back as well. I think there's a lot of pieces here. Assuming
this is a team that finished strong, too.
Assuming they could stay healthy. Assuming that they can stay healthy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like about Western Kentucky. I keep thinking back to that game against Arkansas that went to overtime last year when Bassey tore his ACL tragically at the end of the game, and everything kind of went sideways, at least for the next few weeks. But as David said, they did finish pretty strong. There's a lot of pieces here. You had Kenny Cooper from a Lipscomb team 2 years ago when he was a pretty good contributor on a team that went to the NIT championship. Luke Frampton from Davidson sat out last year. Now he's eligible, also almost a double-figure scorer. They've got a ton of weapons to score. Even Kevin Asawe is one of the top JUCO players coming in. And some good freshmen. So it's a really nice mix for Coach Stansberry. And Coach Stansberry actually might be my one biggest concern about this team is because he's always gotten it done in the offseason. Now he's got to get it done in the big games. And I think WKU is in great shape to win the regular season title, but I don't know that they're going to be able to get it done at the curtain. So we'll see.
David, there is a couple interesting head coaches, though, here. I think are pretty good. You've got Dan D'Antoni and Marshall and Andy Kennedy coming in to his alma mater there at UAB this year.
Yeah, Andy Kennedy, UAB been a little bit disappointing in recent years. They've kind of tapered off. And like, at least in the days of Mike Anderson, this was a team that was in the rankings every now and then and inside the bubble more often than not. Andy Kennedy, a real proven coach, had some really good years at Ole Miss. I think it's a great hire for them. I'm curious to see what he can do. They might be kind of a team to keep an eye on. He's done well everywhere he's been.
I think we got to keep an eye on Marshall. Obviously, North Texas won the league championship last year. You got to keep half an eye on them. One quick note about this conference. They are just playing a straight 18 game this season. This season, they are not using the bonus play model they've used the last few years when for the last four games were not pre-scheduled. I don't know if that will come back again next year, but for this year at least, it is just a straight 18-game conference season.
Mm. Yeah, and they've also now adopted the back-to-back game model each week. So there are some omissions with 14 teams, so that's important to look at. Like I know UTSA and Western Kentucky won't play, for example.
Interesting.
David, over in the Horizon League, which should be coming up here any second now. There it is. Wright State won the regular season championship last year. It was actually their first ever outright regular season championship. I bet you didn't even know that, but they had tied a few ties before. They never won it outright. And of course there was no NCAA tournament. So what about the Horizon League this year? Is it Wright State again?
I think it is. NKU has been right up there with them. I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back, but they'll still be kind of in contention. A team to kind of watch for that's
do it,
been,
do it, do it.
That's been awful, like historically.
Yes,
one of the worst teams. I still don't think IPFW is going to be – no, like it is the Penguins.
The Penguins. How about I was waiting for it.
Wow, what an ascension that they've had. I don't think they're going to win the league, but they could easily finish top two or three. They've really got a lot back. They really kind of finished strong last year. They've had more momentum than I can ever recall them having. They're a team to watch. And how about Bobby Moe joining the league? I don't understand.
Yeah, we've actually got multiple new additions to this conference. You mentioned Fort Wayne already coming over from the Summit League, and Robert Morris coming over to the Horizon from the Northeast Conference. So, like, I guess geographically it kind of fits, you know, right there in Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah. Very close to Youngstown, actually. But it's just a bit of a surprise move, I guess. But
why would you leave the Northeast Conference? It's the greatest conference. We'll get to that later.
Stalika. Are you on the Youngstown State bandwagon? Are you gonna take them to be with me in at least good shot second place? I don't know about first, but
I had a chance to actually see Youngstown State in person last year when they visited Northern Kentucky. Needless to say, at that time they weren't ready to take the next step. But this year, I like their chances to at least pass Northern Kentucky. But I don't. Well, I'll put it this way: I think Wright State wins the regular season crown, but given how chaotic the Horizon League tournament has been in recent years, I wouldn't put it past the Penguins to sneak away with the automatic bid.
Rocco, a couple of teams you got to keep a look on here. Obviously, Detroit was awful last year with 23 losses, but Antoine Davis is going to score about 3,000 points a game, first of all.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Antoine Davis, always a great watch, no matter who Detroit Mercy's playing. I think there's still not enough pieces around him to get them in the top half of the league, but they're always a threat. I think last year they knocked off Northern Kentucky, if I remember right. Maybe that was the year before, but they'll hang around. You just don't know, you know, when they're going to totally fall apart at certain nights. But Antoine Davis is a treat for the league and a treat to watch. Also a guy to watch is an incoming JUCO player for Cleveland State, Demoy Hodge. I think he is a electric player. I saw a little bit of his film from JUCO. Never know exactly how that's going to translate to big V1 basketball, but I think they're depending on him heavily. And Cleveland State made a lot more progress last year than anybody gave them a chance to. They were dead for broke before in the preseason last year and just kept getting better. So that's an intriguing program to follow right now. The last team I wanted to touch on is Illinois Chicago, bringing in a hot name coach, Luke Yaklich, who's been the assistant defensive mind at Michigan, took them to the national championship game under Beilein, but the defensive mastermind was under Shaka Smart last year, finally gets his head coaching chance. I think he's still in his 30s, so he's got plenty of runway to go, but they've quickly assembled a really nice roster, I think. And Tavion Kirk's a guy that I got to cover a couple of years ago at Ohio U. He was one of the best freshmen in the MAC that year. Bounced around a little bit. Now he's at UIC ready to contribute. I think they can actually – their KenPom rating's terrible, but I think you'll see them finish a lot higher than that by the end of the year.
I was actually going to keep more of an eye on this Oakland team. Greg Campy always – you know, I guess he's had a little disappointing the last few years, but you always got to keep an eye on his teams. Rashad Williams is coming back, scored almost 20 points a game last year, and they got Zion Young's waiver approved for a as a transfer coming from Western Illinois. He was a 13.2 points a game last year. So that's a team also that, you know, if somebody's going to make some noise from the bottom, that I'm keeping half an eye on. But at the end of the day, I think Wright State just runs away with this. I think they are the best team by a lot.
They've got the best players and one of the better coaches. It's Scott Nagy's done a great job there.
David, I'm going to let you take the entire – oh, sorry, Rocco, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, I agree with you on Wright State. But one important thing that I think to keep in mind for the regular season is Northern Kentucky, despite rebuilding a little bit, they're still in the mix, I think, like you guys said. They get to host both Wright State and Youngstown State. So that's four games all on their home court. I know there won't be fans, but I think that could help them a little bit.
Good point. Real good point. David, you can have the entire conference to yourself. Go ahead. Tell us who's going to win this next league that's coming up here.
The Ivy League, all those teams off the survival board already. I kind of hated to see this. You can't argue with this. You can't criticize anyone that makes a decision that's based on health and that's, you know, making what they feel is a safe and healthy decision. But, oh, my God, I'm going to miss the Ivy League. I really am. I mean, how much fun do we have watching this league every year? Brown last year winning the Ocean State Tournament and just, you know, Princeton and Penn and Harvard was probably going to be one of the teams that would, you know, would we, did they have a shot at the bubble or not? All that's gone.
Well, Yale was a team I would have liked in this league, but that's all besides the point. Rocco, let me get back to you now and jump over to a conference that actually is going to play the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference here. Should be coming up on the screen. Siena.
I still like the Ivy better than this league.
Siena was your regular season champion last year. Are they in for the repeat?
I think so. I think there's a ton to like about Siena. They at one point last year they were 10-10 and 6-5 in the league, and then they ripped off 10 wins in a row to end the year abruptly. Unfortunately for you, Chad, over there at Boardwalk Hall. But this team's got Jalen Pickett, a guy we've known about since he stepped on campus. And now he's a junior, and they've got Manny Camper, couple, I think, first-team caliber MAC players. Dana Tate comes in to help support, and I think Massarello is one of the up-and-coming good coaches. Talk about a guy that could be in line for a bigger job after a potential successful year. That's a good one to remember. Obviously, talk about the rest of the league. I love what St. Peter's brings back in terms of – all those sophomores with also being one of the best defensive teams. I think that's going to help them a lot. We'll see what they got against St. John's here in the opener. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, interesting on St. Peter's. Last year, the highest point average on the entire team was 8.5 points a game, and they finished second in the conference. That's how right. Well they spread the ball out, which I really like. But go ahead.
I like that too. Share the ball, and you don't need all those me first attitudes. It goes a long ways. And of course, you got to talk about some guy named Rick Pitino.
Here it is.
Speaking of me first attitudes.
I'll let you guys take off with that.
Sleeka, you want to take the first shot at what's going on in Iona?
I was actually going to go back to St. Peter's for a moment. A couple things that were remarkable about there. Keep in mind, Shaheed Holloway was actually suspended for 8 games because of a head coaching suspension that was related to his time as an assistant at Seton Hall, if I'm not mistaken. Monmouth was another team that I had some high hopes for, but Ray Salnave actually transferred to DePaul, so that's going to take away a bit of their scoring punch. And then there's a little matter of Tim Clouse's replacement up in New Rochelle.
Why?
David, how about Tim Clouse's replacement? We love Tim Clouse.
We love Tim Clouse. I don't think we love
him. And we love Tim Clouse.
I mean, ever really since he had started coaching, he was sort of like the, you know, they say Les Miles is the Mad Hatter. He had nothing on Tim Clouse. Tim Clouse once said, in all seriousness, that he wanted the shot clock lowered to 10 seconds. It was just a brilliant quote. Like, they would be up by 20. He'd still be pressing the tempo of the game, no regard for anything. And, like, he was just, you know, the feud that he had with Iona, or not, excuse me, Monmouth, with Monmouth and everything else. Like, what a fun program that was. And, a real likable coach. I mean, we used to call it clusing whenever anybody lost inexplicably or blew a 20-point lead. But I just wish he was still there.
I mean, we do say about his best. It was health issues that caused him to have to retire. And Rick Pitino coming in, obviously, ex-Louisville head coach, many other places as well, and most recently in Europe. He's going to make headlines. He's going to be making some noise for the conference, so I guess you can say that at least. We'll see what he does in the court. They lost a lot off of last year's team. I think it's going to take him a few years to build something up here. Just real quickly, the rest of the conference, it's going to be a major fall, I think, also this year for my boys from Ryder also, who've finished tied for third last year and have nothing coming back, and I'm picking them dead last in the conference, actually.
The media agreed with you.
Yeah. Did they? Okay, I didn't even know that. Sleeka, You are our Ohio guy, so let's go to you for the Mid-American Conference, in which we may see something that hasn't happened since, what, like 1927 down out of Bowling Green?
Or something? 1968 is the year you're referring to. But it seems like Justin Turner may have been around at Bowling Green since 1968.
He's a 27th-year senior.
Yep. Chose not to grad transfer. Got to give him credit for that. Go ahead.
Unless you want to say he's a grad transfer to Bowling Green. But
from Bowling Green to Bowling Green,
They get another year out of him. They also get Plowden. So you're going to have a nice core of players to work with up in Bowling Green. But if you're looking for challengers, you have to look at usual suspects like Akron and Buffalo, maybe Kent State.
Akron, Buffalo, Kent State. Rocco, one quick note. No divisions in this conference this year. It's going to a straight 12-team format. We've had a divisional format for years. I don't know that it matters much because they kind of ignore the division seedings when it came to conference tournament. But are you on the Bowling Green bandwagon? Is there someone else you're looking at?
I love the Bowling Green team. I think they'll get the regular season title. It's just really brutal to win that conference tournament in Cleveland. It could go a lot of ways. I don't think Bowling Green's head and shoulders above everybody else. The league's too competitive, and I'm very impressed with the last couple of years how the bottom has come up. Like it's a really tight league. I do think Western Michigan is in a bit of a free fall with their coaching fiasco that happened. But besides them, I think the other 11 teams are all really competitive. There's a team that I'm looking at as a dark horse. I can't pick them to win it, but Kent State, they bring in a player that I'm very excited to see, Ta'Quarian Smith. They've apparently a playground legend. He's hasn't played in D1 yet, JC transfer. Really curious to see what he brings to the table. I covered a Kent State game last year. They have Danny Pippen and Michael Nuga's coming in as well. So that could be a sleeper team to follow. I also think just last year, analytically, Akron was really efficient, and John Grosche's there, and he knows how to win the MAC. I think that could be a team that could show up in Cleveland and steal the auto bid.
David, I'm also kind of looking at this Buffalo team a little bit. I think John mentioned them. Ohio U, I like Jordan Preston and Ben Vanderplas. That could be a team that makes a little noise as well.
Yeah, I'm big on Ohio. Like, I think I actually have them winning the league. But
oh, really?
As a dark horse, obviously. But, yeah, I think they're well-coached. I like the pieces that they have. I think that they can do it. And Bowling Green, I don't know. I just can't. It's Bowling Green. It's been since 1960.
Well, in my lifetime, I've never seen them in the tournament, so why should they make it now, right?
But this is one of those leagues, we say this every year, that there's a lot of rivalry in this league. One of the things that won't be a factor this year is that it is hard to go on the road and win in this league. Like, if you turn on it virtually any game, like when Akron goes to Kent State or when the Michigan schools play each other or like Toledo and Ohio play, it is – like these jam-packed bandboxes, and it is hard to win on the road.
Well, they won't be jam-packed this year.
Well, they won't be this year, but like as good as Buffalo was the year that they were in the rankings and
fire.
You know, they still struggled in several road games and lost a couple of them. And I think sometimes this league, it's really hard for anybody to kind of break away from it and get inside the bubble, whereas in another league, it might not be quite so tough. I mean, I know Buffalo did it a couple years ago, but for that reason, it's kind of hard to say, is anybody going to be inside the bubble as good as some of these teams are?
That's an excellent point, David. I think it's just too hard to get inside the bubble when you're probably not going to get through a 20-game MAC with less than 17 wins. Or more than 17 wins, right? So, Bowling Green at Michigan on Wednesday, though, that could be fun.
Assuming
it gets played.
Fingers crossed.
Rocco, should we talk about a team that lost 29 games last year as we turn over to the MEAC? Because this is the team that everybody's talking about. And we're going to D.C. there. We're going to Howard.
Howard, yes. An amazing story. Very cool. If you were following recruiting last year, you knew HBCUs were becoming, for a lot of great reasons, much more seriously taken by the top recruits. And Howard became the first school to land one in Maker, and he's a top 10 player out of the class of 2020. So it's not like they just got like some top 100 guy. They got a guy that could have started for Duke, for Kentucky, Kansas, all of them. So not only coming in as a freshman, but also somebody they can build around and make a tournament run. And he will probably win all the awards as far as player of the year, newcomer of the year, freshman of the year, you name it. But that doesn't mean Howard's a shoo-in to win the conference. They have a lot of ground to make up, as you said.
They were dead last year, this conference, yes. 4-29 overall. Now, Wayne Bristol is back. He was the MEAC freshman of the year last year, so they got a little bit to build around with Maker, but I don't know.
Yeah,
they got four of the players on the court, though, don't you?
Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of youth, but you got guys like Rob Jones and Lubel Mouton in this conference coaching, and Norfolk State and NC Central. Those are two schools that they know how to win this conference, and so it'll be a challenge for Howard.
But also keep an eye on a team like North Carolina A&T, because they've also got one foot out the door headed towards, I think, the Big South for football reasons.
Yeah,
they're bringing in Blake Harris, who is formerly played for Missouri and North Carolina State. So I think North Carolina A&T is not going to be that bad of a team this year also.
Blake Harris, a former Washington Husky commit until Lorenzo Romar got fired.
David, you do see three teams in red there. Delaware State is playing this season. They're just on a postseason ban because of their APR. Bethune-Cookman and Maryland Eastern Shore have both decided not to play this season because of COVID. So we are going to have a 9-team league. I assume we're probably going to end up with an 18-game conference schedule. I think it's one of those conferences that hasn't even announced a conference schedule yet, though.
Right. They'll be announcing it as they go.
Probably. But let's roll on here then. And Sleek, let me go back to you as we jump over to the Missouri Valley Conference here. And maybe we are once again talking about a team with the serious at-large possibilities here at the top of the MVC.
There were actually two teams that got votes in the top 25.
You see them there, both Loyola and UNI.
Northern Iowa, one of the two teams right here, was a defending regular season champ, but Loyola Chicago is going to be the other team you're going to have to keep an eye on, even though we're about three years removed from their Final Four appearance.
Yeah, and last year, David, Northern Iowa, if we'd had an NCAA tournament selection show, would have been an incredible debate.
It would have been.
Flip up in the Missouri Valley Conference quarterfinals, but good during the season.
Yeah, to kind of refresh your memory, I think going into the conference tournament, they were inside the bubble. The problem is they had to play in the conference tournament, and they ended up losing
a bad game.
The only team that could have knocked them out. Like, had they just not lost that game, I don't know if they would have made it or not. We'll never know. But I like what they have this year. I think that they're at least as good, maybe a little better. I know they lost a little bit, but I think they kept more. And you know, again, you just kind of hate that we're in the times that we are, because how much fun would it be to watch them in a normal November, December format right now?
Right. And Rocco, I mean, you got A.J. Green leading the way. He could be the player of the year again in this conference there. And then right behind them, Loyola, who's got everybody back from the second place team. And this might be, you know, as much depth and experience as they had when they went to the Final Four, this Loyola team.
Yeah, they don't lose a single person, Loyola Chicago. And obviously, Krutwig and Williamson, we've known these guys since the Final Four run, and they're just rock-solid players. The metrics love Loyola Chicago. Northern Iowa and Loyola Chicago played each other twice last year. They split the series. Both games went to overtime. We're in for some awesome games this year between those two. But we also cannot talk about the Valley without talking about the two-time defending champion.
Yes,
in the March Madness, the Bradley Braves, who still have Elijah Childs, who bring in Sean East from UMass, who's going to be a big contributor, perhaps the newcomer of the year. I love the Mountain West because I'm out here, but Missouri Valley could actually jump into the top 10 this year and replace the Mountain West. We could have done a whole show on this league. It's an amazing league. All 10 schools have compelling stories. I really love it. It's just quality basketball, where most of the guys are not going to the NBA and they're going to play hard nose. You want to watch a hard nose game, watch this Loyola Chicago team, watch this Bradley team. It's fantastic.
Well, Bradley's also going to be intriguing because they're going to have three important games right out of the bat in the Xavier Invitational. Besides the Musketeers, they also get to play Oakland and Toledo. So it wouldn't be far-fetched to see them potentially win three games out of that group. But if they do, then they have to be a serious contender for this league.
Oh yeah, if they go 3-0 and knock off Xavier, we need to mention something here, guys. Evansville is not important. as far as being a league contender, but they had what was the most extraordinary season any team has ever had last year.
You go on the road and beat the number one team in the nation, Kentucky Wildcats.
Had not happened, put this in the context, like no under-the-radar school had won on the road against the number one team since, did we decide 1992? And even that was up for debate.
Something like that. And then guess how many Missouri Valley Conference games they won all season, including the conference tournament.
Yeah, now this followed
zero.
Zero.
0-19.
This followed their coach getting fired for a spectacular reason. Google it. We're not going to get into that because it's all alleged. But like, so that this spectacular firing happens. They go 0-19. They end up with Todd Licklider at the end of the year, who hadn't done anything. They just like not an assistant. They just go with a guy completely different. And in the ratings, as far apart as Kentucky and Evansville were, I know that there's been more important upsets. The UMBC win over Virginia is the biggest upset ever as far as importance. But as far as the gap between the two teams, has there ever been one bigger than Evansville over Kentucky? I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a conference. You mentioned that. There's some off-court news and multiple teams here. Drake has a lawsuit going on involving a shooting of a player. There's some ugly stuff off the court, unfortunately, in this conference. On the court, I think we've got three teams. I like Indiana State a little bit too even this year. I mean, there's a few other teams that could make some noise.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, the trees. I like them too.
Rocco, I'm going to let you take the first crack at our favorite conference, at least some of our favorite conferences here.
Sir.
It is time for the Northeast Conference minus Robert Morris, a 10-team league this year, and including the defending champions, highlighted in red there because of the defending champions. Right?
Yes. How? I mean, quick shout out to Merrimack. I mean, unbelievable.
It was.
First year in Division One to win the regular season. It's just unprecedented. It's unbelievable. And I know that they've lost some pieces this year, but how
big
can
step
you go
back? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the NEC. So, like, yeah, the team that's going to play actual defense might actually win more games than they're supposed to. And that's what Merrimack did last year. So that was just really special. I think this year it's really up for grabs. You know, this Fairleigh Dickinson team that I got to cover a couple of years ago, they still have Jaleel Jenkins. Yep. And they have Xavier Malone Key, who's a senior now as well, and I think Elijah Williams is still there. Yep. I'm partial to them. I love Coach Heredia. He's just hilarious. If you need entertainment, watch his press conferences. He's awesome. I think Jared Grasso, also a tremendous salesman, but maybe the next Stansberry out there in the country. Because he, I think
you're talking Bryant.
Jared Grasso, the coach at Bryant University. He, the day that the transfer portal was available in the spring, I think he had over 300 offers, and you know, they only have like a handful of scholarships, so it's impressive stuff. But it was good enough to get Peter Kiss to come over, who could be the newcomer of the year, and Chris Childs comes into Bryant, so Bryant's in the mix, I think, for the championship. I think Long Island's right there with Derek Kellogg still there. It's this thing's up for grabs. But I'll take Fairleigh Dickinson for anything other than just a big fan of Coach Heredia.
Well, David, a team that I'm keeping half an eye on this season also, we talk about them every year, is that small group of teams that have been members of D1 since the beginning, have never made it. St. Francis of Brooklyn, I think they've got a shot again this year at making that first ever tournament.
They do. I don't think it happens, although if there was a year where it would be fitting that it would be this year. But I like Fairleigh Dickinson. I think you know, as much parity as there is, it just seems like this is one of those leagues where at any given point you're in the second half of the season, and you know, more than half the games have been played, and second and seventh place are a game and a half apart. I don't think that's going to change this year. It's always been fun. I kind of hate that we're playing without fans, but this is a league that lives on the 15 and 16 line, but what you have is a lot of kids from the northeastern cities, like Boston and New York and, you know, Philadelphia and everything else. And you just get what is just really intense guys that, I mean, doesn't this league have sort of a playground feel to it? I have been trying to put my finger on why this league is so much fun. That's the best thing I can come up with.
Yeah, and it will be, David, it will be tough to watch if there's no fans. I don't think there will be based on the states that these teams are in.
Yeah.
But it will be harder to watch because, like, when these teams play and the gyms are rowdy, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. God, I mean.
Yes. Yeah, so Sleek, anyone else you're looking at in this conference? Or you want to make a shout-out for a Long Island or a Mount St. Mary's, or are you going fairly Dickinson also?
I think, Mount St. Mary's is going to be the usual suspect with Robert Morse leaving a bit of a gaping hole here.
Well, let's tell you what, David, let's jump over to the Ohio Valley Conference next, which last year was a two-way tie between Murray State and Belmont. So this year it's going to be a two-way tie between...
Well, there is a third team. Okay. What's normally a two-horse race might be a three-horse race this year with Austin Peay in the mix. I'm kind of a big fan of them. I'm still going to go with Murray State to win the league, but Murray State, Austin Peay, and Belmont having to replace a little bit, although I don't think it'll be that big of a deal. But those are kind of the three teams that I like, and then after that, the gap between third and fourth, at least to me, looks pretty large.
Well, this is where I'm gonna go out on a limb here because I've got another team that I want to bring in here. I agree with you. I like Murray State. I like Belmont, even though they lost some pieces. Mazinski's back. He's gonna be great for them.
Are you Austin looking in the city of Nashville, Chad?
No, I am looking at Eastern Illinois. I'm going to talk to you about this team.
Lots of media
here.
Love for them, but I can't.
You got Josiah Wallace at over 15 points a game. You got Max Smith at double-digit score. You got George Dixon double-digit score. You got Diang, who is almost 10 points on the bench. There might be some question marks down low. That's where a guy like Sammy Friday is coming over from Siena is going to be huge. But I think this might be the best backcourt in the Ohio Valley Conference, and there's some good backcourts in this conference. Rocco, you want to join me on the Eastern Illinois bandwagon, or you think I'm crazy?
I don't think you're too crazy. Okay. I think they're going to compete, and they gained some confidence last year. There was a crazy game they played. I'm trying to remember who it was, but went to, I think, three overtimes, and they pulled it out. Was that against Murray? I think it was. And they pulled it out. But, I think these guys turned a little bit of a corner last year, and they can build on that. And obviously just a slew of seniors, and you add in a trio of JUCO guys. Lot of options there for Coach Spoonhour. They're in the mix. I think this the top of the league's even deeper than before because a team like EIU could sneak up, EKU could sneak up. I love what Penny Collins is doing at Tennessee State. He's brought in just some great talent, and recruits are on the way there. That guy's a rising star, I think, in the coaching business. But for the league championship, I think just the fact that Belmont still has the big moose in the middle, and they're just a clutch team, and they run that system. They've got some guys to fill in as shooters. They're going to find a way to steal this bid. I don't think they're going to win the regular season. I think that's between Murray and Austin Peay. But Belmont is my bold pick, I think, to steal the bid.
That's a good point about Nick Mazinski, though, because with Adam Kunkel transferring to Xavier, Mazinski's going to get a lot of double teams right now. So if you're a player like Grayson Murray for the Bruins, here's your chance to step forward and take advantage of some of those potential double teams.
Of course, we also have to mention Jacksonville State is in this conference. Ray Harper, you can't count him out in the OVC tournament. And we do have to take a sad note here at this point in this conference. One of the saddest stories we heard all offseason was just – what was about a week and a half ago now, when Tennessee Martin head coach Anthony Stewart, whose son Parker was a star player who passed up in the NBA draft to come back, play with his father one more season, he passed away suddenly. Real, real sad story there. And our best wishes out to all that. Montez Robinson, former coach, I believe, at Alcorn State, is going to coach for the season.
Yeah, real shocking, sad and shocking, because, you followed this at Media Day. He was perfectly fine, seemed himself. Like, when I saw it on the news, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, that has to be a mistake. Or was it a car accident or what? It was – I don't know. But, like, you – God, you're sick for them. You really are.
Absolutely, yeah.
Stalika, the last team to cut down nets as a champion of any type of tournament last year was Boston University, winning the Patriot League championship on what ended up being the final night of the season. When they went into Colgate and won, Are we at the look at the same two teams in the Patriot this year? BU and Colgate?
Yeah, I think, what's his name? Ivanauskas had to be so despondent for Colgate that he would end up transferring to Cincinnati if he had beaten during the regular season. But BU, I mean, if only we can get the championship game back to the roof this year.
Yeah, we love the roof.
Yeah, yeah. David, I'm kind of looking at this as 1A, 1B, Colgate, BU.
Yeah, I would have Colgate as 1A, but, I mean, there's not much separating the two. I think they kind of run away from everybody else. Bucknell has traditionally been at the top. I don't see not them getting year. Up there this year. There's just nobody else that I think comes close to those two this year.
I would keep an eye on the Lafayette Leopards, though. You look at longtime head coach Fran O'Hanlon. He's had some mixed NCAA tournament teams right here. It would probably be a major stretch this year, but I wouldn't sneak it past them. To crash
Jaworski back from an ACL tear, assuming he's healthy. He should be a big part for Lafayette. I kind of look at Loyola a little bit here as well, if you want to look for a third team. Rocco, very interesting conference schedule here also, where some teams are going to play each other four times and not play others at all here, the way they played this out.
Yeah, in fact, Boston U and Holy Cross are going to play six times. How about that?
Oh, wow. I didn't miss that one.
Conference games?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, so they've split this geographically in half, which sets up a very interesting scenario. You know, so there's two parts to this. One's on one side, BU and Colgate are together, which I think are, you guys are right on paper, the two best teams. On the other side, you've got Navy and Army, who are allowed to play non-conference games. And I think that gives them a little bit of an advantage, especially rolling into January, playing these teams who haven't played yet. They can get a couple quick wins under their belt. And Navy, KenPom, they're top 200. So maybe it's a sneaky team to watch out for. We'll see what they got in a couple days. But another team who I brought up a million times last year, maybe it'll work out this year, Loyola Maryland with Santi Aldama and a couple really talented European players. They're just a total wild card, and they can blow some things up if they get things rolling there.
Yeah, I do remember you liking them last year.
Are on the Army-Navy side, so anything can happen on that side.
Rocco, let me stick with you and jump over to a conference that was a ton of fun last year. And I still think there's two very, very good teams here, although I think there might be a bigger gap between the top and the bottom this year than we've had in the past. But the Southern Conference, one of our favorite leagues here and under the radar, we still got a couple of very good teams in this league, don't we?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, at least a couple. I think, you know, Furman and Greensboro are going to be the top two going into the year. Furman, you have to love all the guys they get back, basically everybody but Lyons, who's their deadly shooter. But they've got people on the bench there that to come and fill in. Coach Richie, you know, young and up-and-coming coach. Who knows how long he'll last at Furman. It'd be a clincher, I think, to get job offers if they make the tournament. Same with Wes Miller at Greensboro, right? So I think maybe COVID keeps them there another year, so we'll see how that plays out. But a lot to like in the middle of the league. Mercer was one of the – probably the biggest story and surprise last year, and they got a lot of the core back, still pretty young as well. They could sneak up on those top two teams. And East Tennessee State, Jason Shea comes in. Coach Forbes left midsummer. Good job by the Bucks to keep Shea there. And the program intact, they bring in some pretty athletic JUCO guys, a couple guys left over from last year. Unfortunately, Patrick Good opted out.
I didn't even know Good opted out. So that's actually eight players gone from last year's team, including, I guess, five starters now, all five starters, head coach gone. I mean, I loved East Tennessee State last year. I just don't see it this year. But Stalica.
Bo Hodges went to Butler. Yeah, it was tough.
Stalica, what about, I mean, these top two teams here, especially Greensboro. I think I like Greensboro best of Greensboro Furman. Just Isaiah Miller, such a big force. Hayden Koval coming, a 7-footer who led the Southland Conference in blocks last year, coming over from Central Arkansas. Your thoughts on these two teams? And do we have an at-large bid here? Maybe let me throw that question out to you.
Greensboro has always had a bit of a defensive first mentality right here, but since you're not going to have preseason tournaments, it's actually going to be harder, I think, for under-the-radar-ish teams to really make an at-large case here.
True.
Because I think Greensboro and Furman both have talent. but if you're looking for another team that's completely below the weeds, could be a potential noisemaker, look out for Mark Prosser in the Western Carolina.
Western Carolina, good call.
Best player in the league, I think.
Yeah.
Mason Faulkner.
Faulkner.
I don't think Western Carolina is a fun story for how much they're improved. I just don't think they're up there with Furman and Greensboro. Furman went prior to the conference tournament. This is a team that won 10 of their last 11 games. The only loss at Tennessee State, a close game. I mean, they were as hot as anyone. They have so much coming back. Well coached, like you said, probably the best team that he's had since he's been there. I think that could they get in? I think that you could see two teams inside the bubble, at least if it were a normal year. And, you know, Furman might be one of those teams that played their way into the top 25, sort of like what Wofford did in the latter part of the season a few years ago. I really like both of them.
I got to turn to the bottom of this conference very briefly because I haven't figured out what happened in Samford. Where Scott Padgett, who we loved, are you stepping to me, Scott Padgett?
Yeah.
He's let go. He's actually an assistant over in New Mexico now. And they bring in Bucky McMillan, who was one of the best high school coaches in Alabama and has never been in a college game at all. A very, very strange hire. Rocco, you're nodding your head. Let me ask you about that hire.
I mean, yeah, it was a big popularity contest, I think, in Birmingham because the AAU program, I think he was running, was right there in Birmingham, right? So, Bucky's got connections to a lot of these top players. It's certainly a move to bring an influx of talent. But, hey, what is he going to do coaching-wise? It's going to be really interesting.
I don't like the move. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I don't like the move. And I think that this may be the worst team in the conference this season, even below Citadel and VMI, who are perennial doormats.
Samford was inexplicably bad last year. Yes, I mean, it looked like they had, from what they had the year before, coming back. I mean, you thought that this was going to be another 20-win season. Maybe not winning the conference, probably not. But you expected them to be a lot better than what they were. But the fact of the matter is, like the Scott Padgett took over a complete mess of a situation and seemed to, over time, while last year was a step back, be moving them forward and taking them in the right direction. I don't understand the firing. It was and then you hire a high school coach.
Salika, let's go over to the Southland Conference, or a.k.a. the Stephen F. Austin Conference, and ask the question, is it Stephen F. Austin's conference again this year?
Eligible this year?
They are eligible. By the way, Stephen F. Austin did not make the APR numbers. However, they negotiated a deal with the NCAA. Their one-year APR ban is going to be next season, not this season. Honestly, I would take it this season.
I would take it this year.
But as of right now, it's still on for next season, not this year.
Well, Stephen F. Austin is always going to be the leading contender right here. Abilene Christian, a couple years ago, actually got their first NCAA tournament bid. I'm not sure if they're going to have the pieces to catch the Lumberjacks this year, but who else would you take besides the Jacks?
Well, Rocco, you want to join the Lamar bandwagon with me?
I don't know about Lamar quite yet.
Okay. Yeah,
that'd be a fun story, though. I like Stephen F. Austin. They deserve to be the pick. Bizarre circumstances. I had no idea that postseason bans were negotiable. But nice job by them.
Typically not.
Nice job by them to get that can kicked down the road by a year. I do like this Nickel State team. I think they could make a little bit of noise. Andre Jones, Sean Williams, quality players. Just looking for a team to kind of come out of nowhere. That would be my pick. But Abilene Christian's pretty solid too. I think those are probably the two best challengers to Stephen F. Austin.
David. How about the SWAC?
Oh, yes. How about it?
How about the SWAC? Well, let's say, as it comes up the screen every second, there are two ineligible teams, both APR bands, Alabama A&M, Alabama State, will not be in the NCAA tournament this year. There are eight others. Texas Southern took a step back in Johnny Jones's first 2 years there. Is this the year that he puts them back in their normal place at top of the league?
I think so. But again, it's just kind of hard to say right now. I'm trying to get to my SWAC notes here. I'm sorry, but You know, one of the questions about this, like, yeah, they have kind of taken a step back. One of the good stories that's been improving is Grambling. I kind of like them this year as a dark horse, although it's just been kind of fun to watch them improve recently, you know, from going to being one of the worst teams out there to being one of the better ones. Who was it that they love? Texas Southern, like who already talked about getting the media day love. But what about Southern? One of the more improved teams last year.
Sean Woods, forget what happened off the court. He's done an amazing job since he came down there to Southern.
Yeah, he has. You know, a complete mess when he took it over. One of the more improved teams in the conference last year. A lot of good pieces back this year. So I'm kind of leaning not Texas Southern, but Southern.
Rocco, Prairie View won the regular season, I believe, last 2 years, but step back this year for them?
I don't think so. I think right in the mix. Okay. I think they're in that same conversation as Texas Southern and Southern, as great of stories as they are. I think Prairie View can hang. You know, they're going to go out to Louisville and play a handful of games, which will, you know.
Which they'll lose, but go ahead.
yeah. They'll get battle tested, and I think that helps them lean into SWAC play. And I think – you still got Cam Mack there, who's an emerging sophomore. You got a couple other guys, Eric Hester coming in as a newcomer that I think that's going to contribute. And I think they've just really established a program now. And I think they're a team that's going to be towards the top.
I also kind of like Jackson State a little bit as a team to keep an eye on in this conference this season a little bit. They could make some noise as well. What do we have to – Rocco, Sleeka, why don't we go to you now for the Summit League?
This would be another league where you have to look at one of the usual suspects or two of the usual suspects as far as North Dakota State and South Dakota State go right here. And South Dakota State, even though T.J. Otzelberger left to take the UNLV job, they didn't miss too much of a beat right here.
I'll tell you what, not missing too much of a beat – there's a handful of these teams that I mentioned that we're going to be discussing for at-large bids.
Yes.
David, I think the South Dakota State team, on paper at least, is good enough for an at-large bid.
Yeah, they are. And you kind of hate that the coach left because, I mean, this is the year that they could have really done something, got inside the bubble. In a normal year, again, how much fun would it be to see them go through November and December, the out-of-conference slant, and like, could they get some big wins? Could they get onto the scene? Could they get into the rankings? I mean, if you pick up a big win or two and then sort of hold serve in the conference, which I think that they would, this is a team that could have, you know, gotten inside the bubble and maybe played their way into the top 25. This is a really, really good South Dakota State team.
Yeah, Rocco, Douglas Wilson, player of the year last year, he's back. Freshman of the year in Fridell. There's a lot of talent on this Jackrabbits team.
Yeah, it's a good Jackrabbits team, and now Eric Henderson's in his second year. He's been part of the staff for a while, so there's a lot of cohesiveness there. They've done a ton of maneuvering with their schedule to get their way into the Bad Boy Crossover Classic in town, Sioux Falls. So they'll get a crack at West Virginia in the first round. That could be a really entertaining game if that tournament gets off the ground.
2 days away, so of course we don't know.
and even for South Dakota, you guys talk about their at-large chances. You know, enough good teams in that tournament. If they somehow get out of there with two and one in whatever direction they head in the bracket, they might be in the conversation just because they're in that thing. But we'll see how that plays out. Outside of them, I think – North Dakota State brings a quality team back. It's probably going to be another SDSU, NDSU final. But don't forget that last year South Dakota State got upset in the first round, and they've been upset before. I think this Western Illinois program, they're at the bottom right now in terms of predictions, but they are recruiting like crazy. I think Marcus Watson comes in and wins Freshman of the Year in the conference. Just a team to keep on the periphery as we go into another season next year.
I'm also keeping an eye on Oral Roberts this year. It's another team that could be, you're not talking about winning the conference, I'm talking about the second, third place type of spots with North Dakota State. Oral Roberts is a team that I'm looking in there, maybe Omaha. We also have a new team in this conference, by the way, Kansas City, UMKC, yeah, coming in over from the WAC.
They're a curious addition, Chad. Four starters back, a team that wasn't playing too badly at the end of last year. Billy Donlin did have some pretty good teams at Wright State. Not a whole lot of love for them, but is that – that might just because of
I've only got one starter coming back in my notes from them, but maybe I read about the wrong team.
Or maybe I
They got McKissick back, but I also see four starters gone from last year, and I got the pick dead last.
Four starters gone from last year. New coach, some top replacements of those four. I don't know what the.
They were 16-14 last year, so they were. Three of their,
I sounded smart there for a second, but didn't I?
I think three of the guys, I don't know if they all started every game, but three of the guys I have in their lineup are back for starters, Nesbitt, Alec, and McKissick.
So it was either 4-1 or 3. We have it together tonight, guys.
I had Nesbitt down as being off the bench last year. They got Demaryius Pitts coming in at D2. We're sitting here debating
we're
the guys playing
team
in the summer league.
This is very 16.
By the way, I just got a whole list of Summit League message boards. I can send that link out to the team after the show. Right? that's not fake news.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Rocco, let me stick with you for as we jump over to the Sun Belt Conference here. This is a conference that
– the Little Roccos!
That is moving to a divisional format this year. And I even got the divisions up there on the screen. You see the Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama teams in one division, the Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas teams in the other division. Makes a ton of sense geographically. One of the best breakdowns of divisions I've ever seen, honestly. What about this league? First of all, I guess I guess we always, who's going each division and who the best team overall is here. And is it the Little Roccos?
I think it is the Little Roccos on paper. You know, Noel's back and he's an all-conference guy. He could be player of the year this year. But they just have a team that emerged last year, maybe even a year early. I think they were picked 11th last year and then won the league.
Kamani Johnson just transferred to Arkansas, though. That hurt. Very late transfer.
Yeah, you're right. That did hurt. I think they have enough to.
Especially since they're probably favorites. Better than Arkansas.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But I do think this league is pretty deep. Last year, you know, every team lost five and every team won five. And so it was what you did with those other 10 games that made the difference. This year, I do think Troy and Louisiana Monroe are probably in the bottom tier. But besides that, the other 10 schools can all make some noise. I think something else that could be interesting is if games get teams have shutdowns, you can maybe schedule some non-conference games across the aisle with the West and East breakdown. So I'll be interested to see if that happens. Another team that I want to just call out real quickly is Coastal Carolina.
Yes.
Devontae Jones is back. But if you remember back to the tournament last year, the Myrtle Beach Classic, they played Baylor in the semifinals. Baylor ended up being a pretty decent team. And at the time that Ibrahima Diba went down with his just unfortunate ACL injury for the rest of the year, they were up by, I think, 7 or 8 points in the second
That's
half.
That's right.
And this team was just coming out of nowhere. And now all these guys are back together. So Diva stays healthy. You got Jones. You got everybody else back. Tyreek Dixon comes over from Missouri State. This is a team I think a lot of people are sleeping on. So hopefully they can stay healthy, and I think they can make a lot of noise.
I really like that pick on Cliff Ellis's team there. And because the Diva injury is so devastating that when you lose your point guard like that so early in the season, with him back, assuming they stay healthy, I like that.
What about Georgia State?
I was going to say, it's between them and Georgia State, I think, in that East division there, although I do agree that Little Rock, I think, is the overall best team.
Yeah. That's where I am with it.
All right. Stalika, you have any other takes, any other hot takes? You want to go South Alabama, Arlington, Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns?
I like how you subtly slipped in a hot, hot, hot take right there.
Oh, yes! Oh. Hot, hot.
Unless we're talking about James Forrest and the Appalachian State Mountaineers.
You want to go there? You think they can win that division at least, or no?
Not behind Georgia State.
Okay.
Not behind Coastal.
But they can finish in the top five of that division, definitely. Slick, let me stick with you. We head to our very last conference of the evening.
Reshuffling the deck.
Yeah. Reshuffling the deck. Yeah, let's jump over to the Western Athletic Conference. Some changes here. We see a few teams. We mentioned already that Kansas City and Bakersfield have left. We have Dixie State and Tarleton State, two new entrants here to Division I in their first year of transition. Cal Baptist up there is in their third year of transition. So we only have six postseason eligible teams in this conference either. So Sleeka, let me start with you. Every year is New Mexico State. Same thing as always. And are they good enough to make an at-large bid this year?
Are they good enough to make the NCAA tournament?
As an at-large, let's assume something crazy happened in the WAC championship game.
As an at-large, for the reasons I said earlier, I'm going to say no, because I honestly don't know what their schedule is going to look like or end up being as far as having enough opportunities to bolster their resume. But I would also keep an eye on a team like a Grand Canyon with Bryce Drew now taking over as
head coach. Yeah, how about that? Boom!
Yeah, he takes over for Thunder Dan. So, you know, the Grand Canyon is definitely willing to spend the money on the head coaches. That's for certain. Rocco, let me start with this New Mexico State team. They've got some transfers coming in here. They lost a couple double-digit scores. They may be better than last year, though. New Mexico State, and when they won every WAC game there was.
Exactly, and I think they could run the WAC table again this year, just depending on, you know, if they can navigate the COVID waters appropriately. I think
in Phoenix,
training in Phoenix right now. The way it stands in New Mexico, they can't practice in their home state, so that could actually help them a little bit in scheduling. Right now they're floating around games. I think they only have one scheduled that I know of, and that's a D2 school. So they could, them being in Phoenix, why not get a game with Arizona State or go down to Tucson if something cancels down there, which they just have one canceled today. They could end up, because of the fact they don't have any commitments, they could even go over and play San Diego State. And you know, they're not far from a lot of good games. Drive, just get on a bus. So that could be really important. I just honestly, though, don't see them losing to anybody in the WAC tournament either, because Cal Baptist, in my opinion, is the second best team this year. I think Grand Canyon's close, but with the transition to Drew, it might take them a year to get everything together.
Keep an eye on Alessandro Lever there. He may be the best center in the WAC, and you know, centers are – big men are a bit, you know, a bit harder to find in some of these smaller conferences. So that's
true.
You know, if they can get upset, I think it's the Lopes that would upset them this year.
Yeah.
Especially in the conference tournament. I don't think there's much other competition. UTRGV could be a nice story. Seattle U could be a nice story, but I think they're still a few pieces away.
David, we have two new members of this conference. Dixie State, who is a decent team, tied for their conference title in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference in D2 last year. But we've got to talk a little Tarleton State and Billy Gillespie's return to Division One.
Yeah, yay! I can't wait. He certainly has D1 experience. You want to like Billy Gillespie. He took a pile of crap at UTEP and turned it into an at-large caliber team, and he took a seemingly like pile of crap that was so big that it was uncleanable at Texas A&M and made them nationally relevant, which they really still are. The guys had issues at Texas Tech. He had his issues at Kentucky. All in all, I don't know, if he could quit being so abusive towards his players, maybe I'd be a little more excited that he's back in the division.
I got to admit, taking the wonderful program at Kentucky and turning that into a pile of crap had to be a nice accomplishment.
Yeah, I was actually enjoying that. I was sad to see him go. But anyway, like, a quick thought here. New Mexico State, and you know, seems to be the class of the league, and it's not even close. Grand Canyon opening their wallets in a way that nobody else in the league really is. I think for that reason alone, they'll always be at or near the top. But in the league as a whole, this has been one of the most tumultuous conferences really ever since they used to play football in this conference. Everybody left. You know, a lot of those teams were with the Mountain West. They basically had to use Elmer's glue to keep the league together, and they're still having to do that with teams bailing, you know, Kansas City leaving, Chicago State being awful and being two time zones away, inviting up transitional programs like Cal Baptist, Dixie State, Tarleton State, three of them now. Have we ever had three transitional programs in the same conference before? Maybe the ASUN, but is this league going to make it? You know, are we going to have a whack in 10 years?
That's not even counting the potential financial woes for Chicago State either.
Yeah,
you got to look at the Chicago State team. I lost every whack game last season by double digits. I mean, it was a bad season. I think that this year Tarleton State is not going to be good. They may even have a shot at a whack win there, but that's the best I can say for the Cougars.
Yeah.
I think the whack is actually like hinting right now at dropping a 10th member should come out soon, and there's some plans to get them up to 12. I think they're just anticipating maybe their top programs eventually leaving and trying to refill the well. Just a last comment. I know we didn't touch on Utah Valley, but man, when did they become a triple A basketball program, sending all their players up to BYU once they're ready? I mean, it's just not fair. Poor Mark Madsen.
Yeah. Well, when your head coach goes and takes all the players with you, it's kind of rough.
Utah seven Valley. Miles away. Yeah. 7 miles away, but never met in the NCAA tournament.
There we go. Big rivalry there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about them. Also, there's some news about the Atlantic Sun potentially offering some new members as well coming up here. So we may, as the season goes on, start hearing about some shifting heading into next season as well. But I'm going to go ahead and pull this down here. And I wonder for each of you, for any other final thoughts you may have about anything related to any of these 21/22 under the radar conferences. Sleek, let me start with you.
I think we have to go back to New Mexico State here. I mean, they've become a cradle of coaches of recent years. When you look at Marvin Menzies, Dr. Paul Weir, and now you got Chris Jans, who may or may not be mentioned with the Wichita State position now that that's open, and that he does have some prior ties to there. Now we'll have to see whether or not he's able to keep his nose to the grindstone in New Mexico State while this is going on.
Good point. Rocco.
Yeah, I think we did a really good job covering all the conferences tonight. Fun show. I think, you know, we usually like to wrap it up by thinking about how many bids we can really get out of a couple of these leagues. The SoCon and the Missouri Valley, I think, are our top two candidates. I really just think the Valley is so quality with those top three teams, and obviously those top two in the SoCon. So let's hope it comes together. I know that Greensboro is going to play in Louisville for 5 games, and they get to play against Louisville. So who knows? Maybe if they can win 4 of those, they're inside the bubble.
If they win 4 of those, yes.
I think they play Duquesne and Winthrop, so it's not like a murderer's row, but they've got some real quality opportunities. So anyway, just with such an abbreviated non-conference schedule, we've got some immediate results coming our way soon. So watch out for that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I like the picks on the SoCon and the Valley. I also think there's 3 other teams that I don't think are getting as much competition in their conferences, but Western Kentucky, New Mexico State, South Dakota State, really keep looking at those 3 teams as potential should they need it. And depending on how well the committee watches games and applies the eye test or doesn't apply the eye test this year, maybe we even see what the KenPom rankings like do with those teams. That'd be interesting. David, you want to finish out the all of our preseason previews here?
All of them?
All of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, again, you know, this is always a fun show normally because we're getting amped up for the games early in the week or early in the season, the November and December. And it's just like, well, you know, can Northern Iowa go to this tournament and do this? And can, you know, Furman or Greensboro do this? I mean, some of those teams are getting opportunities, but it's kind of disappointing that it's disappointing in general that we're in the times that we are, but as a basketball fan, you feel like we've kind of been robbed of our November and December. But I don't know. Like, other than that, I think New Mexico State, Furman, Greensboro, Northern Iowa, these are all teams that could. And I'm going to even go with Little Rock. I really, really like them as a team that might make a push for getting on the board and maybe even inside the bubble.
All right. Well, I do want to take the chance then to thank for everybody for joining us. This has been a ton of fun. If you want to check out any of our other previews of the other 10 conferences, they're up there. If you want to watch this again, just hit the little button, scroll back, start over again, because there actually are 0 sports whatever at all here on Tuesday the 24th. So just watch us multiple times. But on behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, John Stalica, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we will be back. I think we're actually going to record a first Hoops HD
report. Hoops HD report.
A very brief one tomorrow night. Yeah. And then throughout the season, twice a week, we're going to be doing a Hoops HD reports, probably around Monday nights, maybe posted Tuesday morning, and then under the radar report, either Wednesday or Thursday evening.
And bracket reveal shows starting this week.
David is doing a bracket reveal show in 5 minutes, but it's going to be him alone, and we're not recording it. So on that note, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.